In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I expend a great deal of energy from this very spot, reminding us of our place in the world, the need to gird our loins and prepare ourselves for our interactions with the world outside of these walls, to always be on guard against Satan, who does indeed prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. But as much as indeed there is a battle with which we are all engaged, the authentic true battle is not the one that takes place outside of these walls, but as we all well know, the one that takes place inside of each of us every single day, and in truth, every moment of every single day. That process, that reality that is at the heart of the spiritual life, and that is overcoming ourselves and embracing the reality of God. Less of us and more of God. And when we look at the lives of the saints and the panoply of saintliness, all those who are declared such, martyrs and non-martyrs alike, what they all have in common is that profound humility before God, an awareness of who they are, their strengths, more importantly, their weaknesses, and their radical dependence upon God. Brothers and sisters, in truth, it really is sufficient for a day for you to get yourself to heaven. And indeed, as much as we might prepare ourselves for things out there, the better preparation, the necessary preparation, the more important preparation, in truth, is to indeed embrace what our Lord enjoins in our gospel. That profound and necessary virtue of humility, which is indeed is at the heart and the foundation of the whole of the spiritual life. If one cannot humble himself, if one cannot recognize his weaknesses before the Lord, and then call upon the Lord and ask him to not only make up for that which is lacking in him, but also then to give himself into God's hands and allow God to be the one to direct him, then we are not truly going to be able to engage any battle, the one outside or the one inside. And then Satan, who does indeed prowl, who does indeed prey on our weaknesses, will find us easy prey precisely because we have unmoored ourselves from the very reality that gives us strength, that makes it possible for us to not only continue to endure, but actually to thrive. I think about this often, and I think about it in terms of, I think, maybe a factor of age. When one is young, one believes that he can take over the whole world, that he can change the whole world single-handedly, and we set out with great energy and enthusiasm to do that. And I think that is something that the young should undertake. But sadly, and I hate to break it to you young people, as you grow older, you will find that that isn't always the case. And oftentimes, there is more resistance and failure than there is actually success. But instead of giving up, one continues to marshal on. One continues to move on. And we move on precisely because that which was large and grandiose becomes smaller and smaller. And we realize that in order to change the world, the best and most profound thing we can do is actually change ourselves. The more I, in a sense, focus on me, not in a way that is selfish or narcissistic or solipsistic, but truly that focus on self and relationship with God, the better I am as an instrument for the salvation first of my own soul to cooperate with God's grace, and then to be an instrument for salvation for all those God calls me into contact with. And so, as the Lord makes very clear, for everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Oftentimes, the question then is asked, how does one grow concretely in the virtue of humility? And as St. Francis de Sales beautifully reminds us, the only way to grow in humility is to be humiliated. You are going to be embarrassed. You are going to make mistakes. You are going to be thought foolish of in the sight of men, in the sight of the world. But you cannot be concerned about that. Because if you're looking at how others are focused on you, then you lose sight of God, who is watching, protecting, and defending you. If you're concerned of what men think, then you're not spending enough time thinking about what God thinks. And the beauty of contemplating God's love for us and our intimate relationship with Him is that God is the only one who will always forgive us of our sins. God never looks past our weaknesses. It's precisely because of our weaknesses that He came into the world to suffer and die that we might live. He is the only one that can accept us with all the things that are wrong with us and not look upon us with shame or doubt or confusion or anger, but instead rejoice in us. Rejoice in that sinner who turns away from sin. And rejoice in the one who has been brought low through shame, who rises up through grace to continue to move forward. This is indeed the beauty of the spiritual life. Precisely because in some very concrete and real ways, it is a simple thing to accomplish. It becomes complicated because we complicate it. We thinking that it must be more than this, more is required of me, when really God asks so very little of us, and we can't even seemingly give Him the very little that He asks. But if we can do that, lose ourselves, embrace that little way that St. Therese spoke about often, that she herself embodied. And oftentimes I would find a slightly saccharine, a little bit too sweet for my tastes in the spiritual life. But in truth, she is exactly right. The smaller I am, the greater I actually can become. Not because of anything that I do, but because of God who will use me well. And that is precisely what God wants to do with us, to use us well, not to use us up to throw us away, but to allow us to cooperate with Him in this ongoing work of bringing everyone unto Himself. God desires that all men might be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And He gives us everything possible in order to make that happen. What is required of us, as St. Paul reminds the Ephesians, is to bend our knee before our Lord and Savior and to give Him everything on this earth and in heaven, most especially everything about ourselves into His hands. Knowing that if we do that, and maybe just for a moment, and maybe just for today, and maybe just for this hour, we can give ourselves completely and totally into the hands of God. And in that way, when God comes to call us all, we desire to be in the house of the Lord. We will receive a much larger room than the one that we deserve. And in this life, continue to be instruments for the salvific work that Christ accomplishes in all mankind. In order for this to happen, we have to forget ourselves. We have to slay our wills. And we have to make as much space in our hearts as possible so that indeed Christ can truly dwell therein. Of course, as always is the case, we are never alone in accomplishing this. The Lord never intends us to do this by ourselves through the own application of our will. Instead, as He is giving us now the very gift of Himself, we eat His body and we drink His blood and are nourished and strengthened to do whatever it is that He commands us to do. So pray for an increase of that virtue of humility in your life and in the whole world, knowing that the words that the Lord speaks to us are indeed true. Who exalts himself shall indeed be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted in love and mercy by God our Father, our Lord and Savior, and their Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.